every single one of you, listening to the readings, will have noted just like that what's in common with them.
Water.
True? No. Being realistic is not. But when I was looking at the readings, there was a phrase in the very first verse of the reading from Exodus, where it said, the people of Israel, Israelites, they journeyed by stages. And I think that was true in the Gospel reading, and it's also true, I think, from reading Romans. But I want us to reflect a little bit on journeying by stages, because we all do it, or most of us do it. How do we use that time? If you're on a bus, you're going stage by stage, bus stop by bus stop. Do you look around, what's out? Do you sit there with your head down, ignoring everybody? Or do you actually sit there and sort of think, oh, I've seen that person before, or I wonder where they're going today? I don't know whether you have that sort of mind or not. And when you're coming to church, or leaving church, what do you do on your journey? Because that's by stages. Firstly, you have to leave here, then you have to walk along a path, and then you go wherever you're going. And then your last stage is probably going home or somewhere nice for lunch. Do you look around you, or are you just so blinded to get there? And I must admit, for me, sometimes it depends how much time I have. Because I do, like, I didn't achieve it this morning. Walking through the churchyard, I'm just looking to see what's around. Looking to see what's come in far, or what's different, or where the black cat is today. But you see all sorts of things, but sometimes it's just taking that time on our stage journey, that particular stage, where we are. And it's also that bit about engaging sometimes. And I'm also reflecting that in our journey, we only sometimes want to journey the people we get on with, the people we like. We struggle to journey with people we're not so sure of. But let's talk a little bit more. So in Exodus, they journeyed by stages. And what happened when they stopped? Typical, you might think, of the Israelites. They complained. And I don't know if anybody ever complains about anything. They complained because they had no water. They put the blame onto Moses, they started quarrelling. They had forgotten the stage before, the part of the journey before. Many parts of the journey before, the leaving of Egypt from slavery, God parting the Red Sea so they could get across. The providing of manna and quails when there was no food. They complained. And they didn't complain only in Rabbah by God, they complained to Moses, who they saw as a person who was providing everything for them. And it's so easy for us to get into that habit, isn't it? Assuming one person will provide for all. But Moses relied on God. And God told him what to do, and as you know, the water came as he hit the rock. In Romans, what's happening? Basically, Paul reminds us about the love that we have from God, and that we accept his forgiveness. And we become part of his family. But Paul doesn't stop there, because the journey goes on. And I think for many of us, sometimes, we think, just being a Christian, just coming to church is enough. But the journey goes on. Because Paul goes on to say that hardship and suffering shapes us and changes us. And as it shapes and changes us, have a choice, I mean, probably from time to time, do them both. We either want to rebel and shout at God, or we begin to rely and trust on Him more. And as we do, we begin to change and reflect Jesus more in our lives. And we begin to trust and hope even more. And so we come to the gospel reading. It's well known. I'm sure, you know, if anybody sort of said, name me three stories from John's gospel, that would definitely be one of them. And I guess one of the others might be what we had last week, Nicodemus. But what happened? Jesus was on a journey. And he rested, he stopped. He stopped at a meeting point, at a well. How well do we, us, didn't even say that. Oh, that was good. Use meeting points. But in theory, it would have been a friendly meeting point because of the tensions between Samaritans and the Jews. But he rested and he engaged in a conversation with the Lord. When we stop, or we sat on a bus, in a cafe, on a train, or even having tea and coffee after this morning service, who do we engage conversation with? We know when the disciples came back, they were really amazed and probably slightly annoyed that Jesus was talking to a Samaritan woman. But yet, it's so easy, isn't it, for us just to chat to the people you fancy chatting to. And depending who you are, you might want to chat them up, but there again, that's up to you. But it takes faith and trust that God has put us by somebody on our journey that he wants us to engage in. And sometimes we really have the time, other times we need to make the time, but if nothing else, we can smile. But what I found interesting here is that in that conversation, Jesus initiated it about wanting a drink. And he took it on further, depending on the woman's response. Just like with Nicodemus last week, when Nicodemus came at night and asked a question. And Jesus was able to unpack it gradually about what it means to believe and trust. And the woman was willing to engage. She was willing to take Jesus on at face value for her. Somebody was being described the woman as being cheeky, brave, and vulnerable. And to a certain extent, being a woman was despised. Being a woman was being sidelined. Being a woman who wasn't a Jew, she made herself vulnerable. And sometimes we have to be vulnerable in our conversations, in our journeys, when we rest, as we journey by stages. And it's not always comfortable. And I guess in this day's world, perhaps we don't want to be as vulnerable as we might have been. I know many years ago I shared with you the fact that when I was commuting by train, that I had a spell when I was being stalked. And I think it just started because I just would say good morning or something to that person. And it was very uncomfortable, and I just didn't quite know what to do. And I was thinking, now what train I get on, the person was there. But it ended. But I really felt vulnerable, and for a long time, I felt, I just don't want to speak to anybody. But yet, when we look at Jesus, he was vulnerable at times, but yet he took time out to speak with others. And I believe that for us, on our journeys, we're journeying by stages in our Christian life and as a church. We say, well, we might not read it now, the bottom of the newsletter every week, it says, everyone is invited, everyone is welcomed, journeying together in the love of Jesus. So where are we in our stage of our journeys? Where are we resting? Where are we engaging? Because as we rest, as we engage, we change, and people around us change. So as we journey through Lent, may we remember that Jesus met with people, enabled them to change.